Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Glenn's not here, so I'm going to try to lead the song here this morning, and hopefully it goes okay. I then shall live as one who's been forgiven. I'll walk with joy to know my debts are paid. I know my name is clear before my Father. I am his child, and I am not afraid. So greatly pardon, I'll forgive my brother. Shall live as one who's learned compassion. I've been love that I'll risk loving to. I know how fear builds walls instead of bridges. How dare to see another's point of view? And when relationships demand commitment, then I'll be there to care and follow through. Your kingdom come around and through and in me. Your power and glory let them shine through me. Your alone name, oh, may I bear with honor. Thanks again for each of you coming out this morning. That song's pretty loaded. A lot of truths there. If you take them words in, it's just a lot of things there. And I sure appreciate seeing each of you here today, and looking forward to seeing what the Lord has in mind for us this morning. And I just had to think as on my drive down here to encourage men. I was just thinking of the vision of Encourage Men and how I appreciate that, and we don't want to lose that, so I think it's important. Each of you have a contribute to it, and just seeing everyone here is a huge encouragement each week, very faithfully. It seems every good turnout this year, and it's been a lot of faces week to week, so certainly appreciate that. Couple announcements. First of all, next week, no session next week. We have our state holiday. Thankful hearts. Just thankful for the many, many blessings that you give us that we so easily take for granted every day. We just thank you again for Encourage Men and how it has blessed each of our lives and the many lives that probably far beyond the imagination of it as it started out. And we just thank you for that. We give you the praise. Give you the praise, and we want to continue that. And we just thank you for each person that's represented here, each man that's here, and the struggles and the things that may be going on in his life. And we just pray that we can just this morning again just lay it all down before you and know that you're in control. And you care. You know each of us. And we just want to just commit our lives to you. Pray for Jason here that as he speaks this morning, we just appreciate him as a brother and a friend. And just pray that you can just be with him and anoint him, his tongue as he's just whatever you have in mind to speak through him. We just commit all to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
See, is that on? There we go. Mm-hmm. Kingdom-focused fathers, as we began Encourage Men this year, we talked about the foundations for life. Men, every day, every week that goes past, as I'm confronted with challenging circumstances in people's lives, I am more and more convinced that the answer is for God's men to become his men. All men to become God's men, his people, walking before him in humility. And in that humility, the gospel gives us tremendous humility and awesome boldness. That's what the gospel does. And we need to walk in that humility, and yet with the boldness that comes from knowing that we have a Heavenly Father who calls us to be a testimony and witness for who he is. And that starts in our homes. It starts, first of all, in our hearts, and then it moves into our homes. We started out talking about the foundations for life. We talked about there's two categories of traumas that happen in our lives. The harmful by their presence, and we aren't going to even go over those, but those are pretty obvious. Physical abuse, sexual abuse, verbal abuse, spiritual abuse. Harmful by their absence is what we want to look at. And we talked about that. And here's, as we look at that, it's this. Not experiencing unconditional love. This is huge. That our children must experience unconditional love from us. On the way over here, we were talking. I was just sharing that about a young gal who is dating. She has never experienced love in her home. And what is she supposed to do with that? Especially if she never got it from her father. Because a father's love will protect her. It'll protect her heart. It'll protect her sexually. It'll protect her in many ways. Men, we stand at the guard of, and nobody can destroy a home unless he first binds a strong man. And God is asking us men to be the strong men in our homes. He is. But our children need unconditional love. A parent who'll take time to listen, understand, and care. This gal doesn't have that. She never felt that from her father. Not knowing the joy of being a delight. Did you know that God placed in every one of us the need for these things? Yeah. How about this, Marvin? It's good to see you this morning. Thanks for coming. Brunel, good to see you. Yeah, what's the difference? You know, I'm just as delighted to see you too, Marvin. Don't let that wound your heart. Yeah, he's wiping the sweat off his brow. But you see, not knowing the joy of delight, our eyes, our tone of voice communicate delight and excitement about seeing our wives. We come home from work, we walk in going, boy, it was a rough day. Or we walk in and you leave the cares behind you and you be a man and your wife sees your eyes light up when you see her. I always want my wife to see my eyes light up when I see her. Ah, it's good to see you. It's so good to be home. I just love being here with you. Okay? You might not feel that, but you can communicate it honestly because that's what God wants you to do and be. Not knowing the joy of being delight. Every one of us longs to be. Not receiving appropriate non-sexual affection. Your children need non-sexual affection. Especially your daughters. Especially when they're hitting their teen years. Especially when their breasts are developing. Especially when they're becoming women. They need your non-sexual affection. Because it's you who give them their concept of femininity. Did I say that right? There's too many imities in there. Okay. Not receiving adequate food, clothing, shelter, that's obvious, isn't it? Not being taught how to do hard things, to problem solve, to develop persistence. Our children need us to help them walk through how to do things. Not given the opportunity to develop personal resources and talents. Okay, all of us have personal resources and talents, and we must see that. We must look at that in our children, raise them up in the way they should go. What's the bent that God has bent them to be? Maybe they have talents that are different than yours. My children didn't want to be a mechanic. I'm a mechanic. Okay. And now, maybe you're a farmer and your children don't want to be farmers. And it can, you know what? It can twinge a bit. But maybe God designed something different for them. So, building blocks to build life on. This is what we looked at as we began Encourage Men this year. God placed in every single one of us the longing to be loved, to belong, and to be significant. That God placed in us. And when we don't receive those things, wow, we struggle. And this comes off of what Jesus heard from his Father. You see, Jesus was going to go through some of the toughest life that anybody ever lived. He was going to experience rejection. He was going to by his own people. He was going to be spit on. He was going to be cursed. He was going to be mocked. He was going to be crucified. And I believe his heavenly Father knew that if he had the foundations for life, love, belonging, and significance, he could walk through life. I believe that when we give our children those three things, our children have what it takes to walk through life. They have the inner tools, the inner courage, the inner confidence to keep on walking without draining the life out of the people around them. This is my beloved son. That's belonging. This is my beloved. That's love. And I'm well pleased with him. That's significance. Every one of your children need to get those three things from you. And we can do that. We can bless with our words, or we can curse with our words. We can say, you'll never amount to anything. And they'll spend the rest of their life trying to prove that they can amount to something, and they'll still fail because you curse them with your words. I hear that over and over and over again. You see, when those four things are in place, and then discipline laid on top of those things, that's something that life can be built on. We looked at discipline, because discipline is hugely important. And when you have the right discipline, when discipline, balanced discipline, is placed on top of love, belonging, and significance, then it produces maturity. It's a truth and mercy balanced discipline. God says, let truth and mercy never leave you. Bind them about your neck. So you want to speak truth, but you always want to speak it in love. That's what the New Testament says. Truth and mercy. Love and truth. They balance each other. Speak the truth in love. And you see, that produces maturity. When we give our children those things, they can grow up, they can be mature. And guess what mature people do? They reproduce. You got it? Thank you for the emphasis. You see, that produces right concepts about God. One of the most damaging things in people is they have wrong concepts about God, and it's because it's been placed there by the way they were raised. What are your concepts of God? But that produces right concepts of God. You see, it shows God's holiness and it shows his love. The other one is when we build fences and walls, it creates feeling of being controlled and trapped, and it produces anger and rebellion. See it all the time. Maybe this is the way you were raised. Maybe this is the way you were brought up. And what does that do? Well, it's an overemphasis on God's holiness, and it cries out to you. It cries out to your children, I am not loved. And what does it do? It produces wrong concepts of God. I hear that over and over again. I ask people, what do they think of God? I just did that real recently with a wife, with her husband there. I said, what's your thoughts on God? Who is God to you? Well, he's up there. He's angry. He doesn't care. He's distant. Okay, where'd that come from? Daddy. Because that's what daddy was. And then there's permissiveness. It's the opposite. And that is an overemphasis on God's love. And so what does that do? It says, I am not significant enough for them to care. You see, Our children desperately need us to be firm and say, no, you cannot get away with that. No, you are not going to be doing that. Here's the way we walk. But you see, if we do all the no, no's, don't, this, that, you can't, without having belonging, love, and significance. That's why you see belonging and significance, you know, shaded up there, because it's an overbalance on love. And then it says the same thing to the children that the fences do. I'm not loved. Only a little bit different way. And what does it do? It produces wrong concepts about God. God's a God of love. He don't care. He'll forgive us. It doesn't matter what we do. No, God is not that way. God is a God to be feared. I feared my dad, but I only feared him when I was naughty. When I was good, man, I could crawl on his lap anytime I wanted to and get love and acceptance. So, what do we do when we're missing these? This morning, my heart cry is and my desire is that everyone who is here this morning who never got these things, these foundational things at home from your father, could receive them this morning. That's my heart cry. That's the purpose of revisiting those foundations. You see, if you're sitting here this morning and you struggle with these, you see, what we want to do is we want to see that there is life from Father. Maybe we didn't receive life from our Father. It wasn't, and you don't want to blame. When you blame your parents, you aren't going to heal. If you deny it happened, you aren't going to heal. If you excuse it, you're not going to heal. But if you say, you know what, I want the truth. I can tell the truth about my dad. My dad tried. He did everything that he could do within what he knew to do. Most of our parents were not overtly evil. Some of them just didn't know. They were raised that way. To me, one of the goals of encouraged men is for us to see God as he truly is, and then for God and godly men to call each other up to become more godly men. And then let's reproduce, brothers. Let's reproduce. Here's a principle. Covenant marries inheritance to behavior. Now you got to chew on this a little bit. Covenant marries inheritance to behavior. God is a covenant-making and a covenant-keeping God. When you come to God in repentance and you ask Jesus to become Lord and Savior, Master of your life, and you accept, you see your sinfulness and you repent, and you see his unconditional love, his sacrificial love, that he went to the cross for you. He loved you so much that he was willing to die for you. You were so bad he had to die for you, but he loved you so much he was willing to die for you. And when you see that, God makes a covenant with you, and you obey, you become baptized. And that baptism is a marriage ceremony that says, I am married to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and yet he's my Father. And covenant marries inheritance to behavior. Now, just listen. The promised land, over 40 times in Deuteronomy, it says, I am going to give you a land, and it's going to be a forever inheritance. It's going to be yours forever. It's a covenant promise that God made with the children of Israel. It's the land which the Lord your God gives you. Guess what? It was a free gift. But he says, go in and possess the land. And 40 times he says, go in and possess the land. Even though the gift is free, we must receive it and we must take it. We must receive it and we must take it. Look at this scripture. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence and violent men take it. What do you think that means? I thought Jesus was this kind, cuddly. Nah, this is Jesus saying from the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent men take it. NIV says this, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and forceful men lay hold on it. Have you laid hold on your inheritance? Or have you just accepted Jesus at a church service or at church and you were baptized and everything else, but you never forcefully laid hold on it and took hold of it? That's my challenge to you this morning. That God says, go in and possess the land. Jesus, when I look at the promised land in the land of Canaan, I don't see that as heaven. Because in heaven, I don't anticipate giants to be there that need to be killed. But the land of Canaan, I believe, is the abundant life that Jesus says, I came to give you life, and I came to give it to you more abundantly. Now, what do we have to do? But to get the abundant life, we got to kill the giants. And we got to, and to get the milk and the honey, we have to milk the cows and we got to fight the bees. And when we kill the giants and we milk the cows and fight the bees, we get to live in the land of milk and honey. Does that mean there's no problems there? There were always problems there. Ever since the beginning of time, there were thorns and briars, and they had to deal with the thorns and briars. So do we, but we can still live the abundant life. We can live the abundant life. Jesus came to give it to us and give it to us more abundantly. But we have to forcefully go and take it. It's not just going to be handed to us on a silver platter. Your children, your family, you want to walk with them into the land of Canaan, and you are going to have to be forceful about it because your children are going to be tempted on every hand to walk away from the land of promise. If they don't receive those foundational things, they're going to struggle, and they're going to spend the rest of their life looking for it. We had that in the first teaching. What do you do when you've never received love, belonging, and significance? You spend the rest of your time looking for it. And you know what we often do as men when we haven't received it? We try and get it from our wives, from relationship. So we want our wife to give us love. Right? And that's okay. But you see, if it's a void that we never got, then we're going to suck the life out of her as she tries to love us. And if we never felt like we belong, we're going to suck the belonging out of her too. And if we never felt significance, we're going to suck the life of significance out of her. And she's going to be drained. And many of us have drained. I drained my wife. And the problem is she never got it either, so she was trying to suck it out of me. Two suckers trying to make a relationship work. Don't laugh, you're there. Maybe some of you aren't. Raise your hand if nothing, never mind. Listen, brothers, God wants to give us belonging, love, and significance. He gives it to us, but you have to take it. You have to receive it. And I'm telling you, you have to retake it by force. You have to go in and possess it. You got to grab it and say, I want this. Look what Jack Frost says. It's difficult to be a father until you first become a son. I like that statement. Because you see, many of us never felt like a son who was delighted in, and we belonged, and we felt loved, we felt significant. And so how can we be dads? And you see, God is so faithful in his words. He says, I am full of compassion in Exodus 34, full of forgiveness, full of tender mercy. I forgive iniquity, transgression, and sin. And he goes on and on. But he says, yet I'm a jealous God. I will visit the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation. Brothers, we are reaping that harvest. The iniquities of the fathers are being visited to the children of the third and fourth generation. Men, are you ready to stop this? Are you ready to join and say, as men, we are going to stop the generational pass down of the voids that make people go out and try and suck the life out of other people, not because they want to, but because it's been missing in their own lives. What we want to do this morning is we want everyone here to receive belonging, love, and significance from their Heavenly Father. Are you ready to take it by force? Are you ready to receive it? I know and feel that I belong and am loved. Okay, listen. Do you believe God's word is true? Who believes God's word is true? Okay. Now, does it become a head knowledge or does it become a heart knowledge? Okay, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Many of you know these scriptures. You read them. You spend your life reading them. It's time this morning that it passes from here to here. And when it does, you become a new creature. how great is the love? That's interesting. It's a question and a statement at the same time. How many of you want to tell me how great God's love is? You see, he's saying, how can we comprehend it? How great is the love? It's beyond my comprehension. The Father has lavished. The King James says it is bestowed upon us. I love the word lavished. It's just poured out. It's poured out abundantly. The Father loves us so much, for God so loved the world. How many of you said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son? Okay. You reduce the biggest word and the most important word to so, for God so loved. It's so loved. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us? Do you realize how loved you are? You are loved so much that Jesus died for you. He died for me. He loved me that much. He loved the world that much. You see, that's love. That's love. And that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. Can you comprehend the fact that you are a child of the living God? The one who spoke and the stars were hung in heaven. The one who spoke and the world took shape and place. The one who spoke and the land was separated from the seas. The one who spoke and life came. And the one who took man, formed him, breathed into him the breath of life. We can become his children. You see, the children of God, and that is what we are. That's belonging. Listen, brothers. When we come to God, we become his children, and he loves us so much that he adopts us. And that adoption gives us every much the right of sons as somebody who is natural born. Our children are adopted. You know what? They're mine. They're mine. I think the next topic is on adoption. Brother, you can't be a child of God if you're not adopted. Okay, don't look down your nose on adoption. Listen, brothers, how great is that love? Have you ever felt that love? You see, if you never felt the arms of a father, you might struggle saying, I don't know how to get it. If you would like to receive it this morning, I'm just going to invite you to stand, and we're going to pray and ask God to take his love and place it deep, deep into our hearts. And I'm standing. Okay? Are you willing to take it? Are you willing to receive and say, that's what we are? If that's been missing in your life, would you just stand with me and let's just pray? Is that too tough to ask? And if you can't stand, then stay sitting. Okay? Father. Oh, Father. None of us had perfect dads. Many of them did not know how to love us. They did love us in their own way, but many of them didn't know how to show it. It wasn't lavished on us. It wasn't, many times it wasn't spoken. Father, you're not shy in speaking that. All through your word, you tell us you love us. And you pour out that love. You bestow it on us. You lavish it on us. And then you adopt us as your sons. And you make us your own. And because you adopt us, we become joint heirs with Christ. We are going to inherit everything he inherits, and he inherits all of the kingdom. Father, these men who are standing before you, in the power and the blood of Jesus, would you tear down the strongholds that have been in minds and hearts that have questioned whether you love them? Would you tear down those strongholds? Would you bind Satan that he cannot hinder your truth from penetrating into every heart that's here this morning, that you love them and you've adopted them and they can hear in their hearts, I love you. You belong to me. You are my child. Would you put that in their hearts so deep and so firm that Satan can never take it from them? We ask this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Brothers, you have a handout. These scriptures are on that handout. Pray it into you. Use it as devotions. Look at it. Pray it into you. Just say, Father, this is your word. Look it up in the scriptures. Read it. Read it right out of your Bible. And when you read it, say, Father, I believe this. I want to experience it. Now, let's just keep watching. Look at this. This is Paul's prayer. We're here in America. And you know what? America is concerned about terrorism because of our world. We're concerned about all kinds of things. We're concerned about we got the best president in the world. And I'm sorry. Anyway, you know what? Paul, what do you think the political climate and the social climate was like when Paul was there? It wasn't good. It was not good. It was not good. And look, he's not praying that they get the government. He's not, and it's okay for us. We should pray for those. We're told to pray for those. But look what he does pray. He says in the end of Ephesians chapter 3, he says, I pray that you being rooted and established in love. You see, that's foundational. That's foundational. He's saying that I pray that you would be rooted and established in love. We just got done praying that God would place his love in your hearts. You see, that is the foundation that you're going to build the rest of your life on. It's the foundation from which you're going to love your children and love your wife and love your brothers and sisters. That is the foundation that we can't do without. And it's unconditional. God says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. It's we who choose to walk away. But when the prodigal turns and comes back, the Father's got his arms wide open and he has a kiss waiting for you and a ring for your finger that says you're now going to inherit everything that you did before. Okay. He says, I pray that you being rooted and established in love. That's the foundation. See, these are the foundations for life. You may have the power to grasp. You see, here's the whole thing. Your children, and when I ask people when I'm dealing with them, I say, did your parents love you? They go, yep. I ask the next question. Did you feel loved by your parents? No. What was the problem? They knew in their head, they knew that their parents loved them, but they never felt loved. Look what Paul's praying. He's saying, I would pray that you have the power to grasp. You see, if you have the power to grasp, that means you're going to feel it. That means Paul is saying, I am praying that God would open your hearts, that you would have the power to get a hold of and know and experience and live in this love. That he would have the power to grasp. I'm still waiting for that, brothers, because I can't comprehend how wide and how long and how high and how wide is the love of Christ. And if you look at the rest of the scriptures, it says, and to know this love, which passes knowledge and understanding. You see, Paul's saying this is primary, to know this. That's what we were praying a little while ago. Father, 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 would you, if we become rooted and grounded in love, we can love our families. We can start by loving our wife. Our wife can know that we love them. She can feel it. And our children can know and feel that we love them. Would you enable us as men, every single one of us men, to go home and flesh this out in everyday life? In Jesus' name. This is one that's beyond my comprehension. Jesus, in John 17, he's praying the high priestly prayer. He's saying, Father, I've been trying to tell them that you love them as much as you have loved me, even as you've loved me. Can you comprehend the fact that you are loved, David, as much as, can you comprehend that God loves you as much as he loved his son, Jesus? I want to. And so we all said that we believe God's word is true. Do you know what the problem is? is we have to possess it. We have to receive it. We have to receive it. We have to go in and take it by force, because you know what? Our logic says, no, he can't love me as much as he loved Jesus, because Jesus was perfect and I'm full of garbage. He can't love me like that. He does. He came to redeem us, to save us from all our self-centered selfishness. That's what iniquity means. He came to redeem us from that. He loved us so much. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We, brothers, are so loved that we can walk out of here in confidence, yet so humble because it's not our own righteousness. When we think we can do it, we're going to fall, because it is him and him alone. But because it's him and him alone, you see, Moses was the meekest man on the earth. That meant he was so humble. But do you know a stronger man who walked on earth? Who could go up before Pharaoh and tell the things that he told Pharaoh in his face? Do you know why? Because he knew who his father was, and he knew where the strength came. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God. Do you see that? He says, you're the temple. I'm going to live in you. God says, I'm going to live in you. And that's the ultimate reason for us to live holy and walk before him in humility. God has chosen to make known his glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, that's his glorious mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is only because Christ is in you that you have any hope of glory. Isn't that awesome? And see, you got to receive it. That's the truth of the scripture. This is what changes us. We were talking on the way over here about pornography and filters and everything else. You know, all the filters in the world will not keep you from porn. The only thing that's going to keep you from porn. And to me, one of the biggest problems is men use porn to medicate the fact that they don't feel loved and cared for and they're not significant. Yes, they got this strong sexual urge, and so some people are just evil and they're just driven toward that, but I'm just telling you, so much of it's medication. So much of it is medication. And when you know how loved you are, when you know how you belong to Jesus and the Father, and you know how significant you are, you don't need that stuff. Because all that's going to do is eat your lunch and destroy your marriage and damage your children, and the iniquities of the fathers will get visited upon the children of the third and fourth generation. Brothers, it ought to terrify us. It should terrify us. You should learn to hate sin, because sin will eat your lunch. You're a chosen people. A royal priesthood. Royal means you're the priest of the Most High God. Did you know that you're a priest? Every single one of us here this morning, not just the preachers, not just the speakers, every single believer is a priest of the Most High God, because God is asking you to tell his story everywhere you go. A people belonging to God. Jesus told his disciples, you didn't choose me. I chose you. If you think out of your own strength you made it to the cross, think again. Yeah. His long suffering brings us. His long suffering brings us to repentance. It gives the opportunity for us to come. He gives us and he calls us. And then I know where the boundaries are, what's acceptable, not acceptable. You see, here's what's so fascinating to me is none of us love to be what? Disciplined. But look what it says there. Look what it says. It's huge. You have forgotten the word of encouragement. Now, how many of you think your children are being encouraged when you discipline them? All I can tell you is if it's love and mercy, if it's truth and mercy balanced discipline, even though your children hate it at the moment, no chastisement for the present seems joyous. But afterward, it yields the fruits of righteousness. And you see, your children, here's what's so fascinating. Look what it says. You've forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. Did you know that the truth and mercy balanced discipline is what gives your children the sense of belonging. Not the love, not necessarily just the concept that you're mine. It is when you discipline them, it means that you care enough about them to discipline them. They're your sons and your daughters, and they will get that message because you have a truth and mercy balanced discipline founded upon unconditional love, unconditional belonging, and significance. Men, if we get that, our homes can work. And we will raise up the next godly young people who can reproduce because they'll become mature. If we keep them children by, if we govern and rule with a iron fist, and all by rules without teaching them values and principles, or if we do the opposite and we just don't have any boundaries, we will keep our children immature and they will not reproduce biblical believers. We'll get more garbage. It's time we make the change. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay. My Father loves me, and He chose me. I belong, and I know and feel that belonging. I am loved, and I feel loved. I feel wanted and important to God, and through His Word, I know where the boundaries are and what is acceptable and not acceptable. And when we have that, we can build life on it. Those are the foundations for life. That's what we need from our Heavenly Father so we can build life on it, and that's what we need to give our children so they can build life on it. Last week, you heard my brother, David, talk. Do you know how he could walk through those very, very difficult years? I believe because, and he and Frank and I talk about it, we did grow up with a dad who gave us those things. And I feel so blessed. I feel so blessed that God allowed us to have a dad like that. You know something? Your children. God intends for your children to have a dad like that because you have no idea what your children will go through. What if your children have to go through things like my brother did? You can instill the foundations of life that they need. And what if you're going through deep waters? The Father in heaven wants to instill these truths in your heart so you can keep on walking faithfully without destructing all around you. Oh, Lord, Your love reaches to the heavens, Your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, Your justice like the great deep. How priceless is Your unfailing love. How priceless is Your unfailing love. The Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. He'll take great delight in you. He'll quiet you with His love, and He will rejoice over you with singing. How many of us would just love to have a Father that rejoices over us with singing and delights in us? Well, you have one. You have one. We have one. Father, thank You. Thank You so much that we have a Father like You. You won't let us get away with stupidness because You love us. But You do love us, and we belong to You. And You're pleased with us because we walk with You. Thank You for that. Thank You for that. Thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jason, for sharing again this morning. A lot of things to take along home with. So appreciate all you coming out. We're going to do the takeaway minute here, I think. No? Okay. It won't be on the screen, but I'll watch the clock, and if we could just do the takeaway minute here.